Welcome to Now on Netflix. I'm Jessica Shaw from SiriusXM, and my co-host might be a member of a new band called Girls 5 Eva and Henry 2. Yes, that is numeral 2. He's Henry Goldblatt. Hi, Henry.
Hey, Jessica. It's so good to see you.
It's so good to see you. You interviewed the cast of Girls 5 Eva. That's called a tease, because that's coming up a little later in the episode.
I sure did, and they're not changing the name to Girls and Boys 5 Eva because they do not want to hear me sing.
Oh, come on. By the way, coming up next week and now on Netflix, Henry's vocal stylings. Henry, in addition to Girls 5 Eva, there is another much talked about movie coming out this week called Irish Wish, and it stars Lindsay Lohan, who, by the way, is like moving into Netflix, isn't she?
Oh, she sure is. And I have to say, she has never looked better. Come to this movie for the scenery. It was all filmed in Ireland. The clothing is just a picnic breath of fresh air with pastels and blazers for guys and belted dresses for women. It's a feast for the eyes.
Lindsay Lohan plays Maddie, who is going to her best friend's wedding in Ireland. The thing is, the best friend is marrying this author who Maddie works with, who she kind of had a major crush on. Cut to a wish that happens and a little bit of divine intervention, and things go awry. Or do they?
It's a bit of a sliding doors moment, Jessica. The path not taken versus the path that could be. And the wish granter comes in the form of a jaunty woman in a head wrap named St. Bridget. When I was picturing St. Bridget, I didn't quite picture her styled in this particular way. It feels very Jackie O sans sunglasses.
Yes, she likes to frolic around the Irish mountains and just show up in interesting places. You know who else shows up in interesting places, who I was obsessed with? Jane Seymour.
Yes, I love the whole trope of a well-known celebrity being a parent who does all their scenes on iPhones or in a studio somewhere and does it for 10 minutes is flawless. And you're like, oh my God, I miss Jane Seymour. And you also believe that Jane Seymour could be Lindsay Lohan's mother.
Yes, I feel like there's a mother-daughter comedy for the two of them to do in the future. Rosemary Kelly, who is Jane Seymour's character, Lindsay Lohan's character's mom, got a lot of mishaps going on in the United States. So we don't really get too much time of the two of them together. And I need that for perhaps a sequel.
British Wish or Scottish Wish?
Oh, yes. You mentioned how great Lindsay Lohan looks. I have to say, I didn't realize how much I missed seeing her in films until I saw this movie. I was like, oh, we have not had enough of you.
Absolutely not. And she just exudes charisma. You forget she's a really good actress. She's a very funny actress. And she just shines off the screen in a way that few people do. It's really beautiful and impressive. Jess, the other person I want to single out is Ed Spaliers, who plays James, the photographer, who's the man not taken. And people may recognize him from You. He had a very central role, which I still do not want to spoil, in season 4 of You.
Yeah, and he's great. And they have great chemistry together, and just their location shots are all so beautiful. Someone I want to single out is Ayesha Curry, aka the godmother to Lindsay Lohan's child. That's right, Ayesha Curry and Steph Curry, her husband. I love that I'm IDing Steph Curry as, oh, Ayesha's husband, this guy, his name happens to be Steph. No big deal, not the greatest basketball player ever. They are the godparents to Lindsay Lohan's child. Clearly, they got very close bonding in Ireland.
Do you think that Lindsay will end up being the godmother to Ayesha and Steph's child, because she has announced that she's pregnant?
I hope so. Or if not Lindsay, then Jane Seymour.
Or Ed Spaliers. We want to keep it in the Irish Wish family.
And if you love Irish Wish, she's also going to be in another Christmas movie, right, Henry?
She sure is, with Kristen Chenoweth, with Chris Parnell from Saturday Night Live, and Tim Meadows. This is a crazy cast.
That is amazing. The film is called Our Little Secret, and we'll see that come Christmas. But for now, Irish Wish is out tomorrow. Henry, let's talk about Girls 5 Eva, because I need to hear about your interview with cast members Sarah Bareilles, Busy Phillips, Renee Elise Goldsberry, who's my absolute favorite, and Paula Pell.
Oh, of course, Jessica. And I want to back up even further. Girls 5 Eva, the first two seasons were on another streaming network called Peacock. And those two seasons plus this one is moving over to Netflix today. And if you liked 30 Rock, if you like Kimmy Schmidt, it's no surprise that you will like Girls 5 Eva. Five Eva because they are all created by Tina Fey and Robert Carlock. And it has the same quick comedy, the same very fast pop culture references. It's a lot of fun to watch. Even the stars themselves say this is not deep programming. It's really a lot of fun. It will uplift you. It will make you happy. And it will make you sing, too.
Oh, it's so good. And I love that you mentioned Tina Fey because she and Paula Pell, longtime collaborators at Saturday Night Live. And also, you think of Sarah Bareilles and Renee Elise Goldsberry, these like Broadway power voices. They're also so funny in the show. And Busy Phillips, I mean, forget about it. She's amazing.
So funny, and they play off of each other so well.
Henrik, why don't you set up what Girls 5 Eva is about?
Sure. Girls 5 Eva is about a girl band that reached their peak of popularity in the late 90s and early 2000s. And they're called Girls 5 Eva because 4 Eva isn't long enough. And there were 5 members of them. One of them tragically passed away. And then through a set of circumstances, they all come back together because there's some nostalgia around a possible reunion. One of their songs gets sampled by an artist and it creates a surge of popularity for this girl group again. And they're all in very different places, both from each other and when they were in their height of popularity.
What was your favorite moment of interviewing them?
Perhaps a mention of a Jeff Garland fart cloud. I think that ranked right up there. Also, they all sort of ad-libbed into some singing, which was really nice. And listening to them try to decipher all the fast pop culture references that were coming their way in the script, it was really funny. And they told some funny stories about that. And Busy was really poignant and lovely about how this show mirrors her own journey through pop culture in the late 90s and early 2000s, both with Freaks and Geeks and then with Dawson's Creek.
Well, I love this show and I love a Henry Goldblatt interview. So let's listen to Henry's interview with the cast of Girls 5 Eva.
I'm so excited to be joined by the cast of Girls 5 Eva, Renee Elise Goldsberry, Busy Phillips, Paula Pell, and Sarah Bareilles. It's so nice to see you all.
Hi, how are you?
Good. This theme song is living rent-free in my head for weeks. Sarah, does that ever happen to you?
God, it happens all the time, especially with these songs from the show. It's like a masterclass in earworms. I feel like someone said—
You have to finish
it,
right?
You have to finish it. You have to just, you know—
Put an ending on
surrender.
The song when you're singing it. Like the da, the end.
Renee, with the show coming to Netflix, there are going to be a ton of first-time viewers. What do you think that they should know?
They should know that they can hit that little button that says start at episode one, and they have got a huge ride in front of them that will change their life. It seemingly asks so little of people. It doesn't demand a lot of time. It doesn't demand a lot of knowledge. And what's so pleasantly surprising is that it gives so much.
Paula, how about you? What would you want viewers to know?
I just think this show is just such the perfect combination of funny jokes, funny with heart. And I would just love people to know that if they binge the whole thing, which is so great to have this big piece of pie, they can just rip through. It's so satisfying. It covers so much of our characters' lives and you're laughing the whole way. And then there's just moments that just get you in the gut, which I really love. And I think we need more of on television for sure.
Busy, I have to ask, you lived through the late 90s and early 2000s on TV with Freaks and Geeks and Dawson's Creek. What's it like to revisit that?
It's interesting. There's an amazing episode this season that sort of really deals with nostalgia, where the Girls 5 Eva are hired to perform at a woman's birthday party who loved them when she was a teenager. And I think that for me, the journey of my life and my career and then being on this show, it's been really interesting because the truth is that looking back on those times, obviously, I had my own experiences that in a lot of ways get skewered on our show, in our flashbacks with how these young women were treated in the entertainment industry early on. The season helped me reframe my own experiences on some of those beloved shows and movies that I was in that I had my own feelings about. 25 years ago is when I filmed the pilot of Freaks and Geeks. I might actually cry right now. Like, I was an actual child. And hearing consistently, especially over the last decade, with streaming, with Netflix, with people being able to access these shows and movies, how much they've meant to people and how they've withstood the test of time has also just reframed my own experience from back then. This show has been a gift for all of us in so many ways. And for me, it has been a gift in many ways, but that is one of the ways in which I just am forever indebted to Tina Fey and Meredith Scardino and these three women.
Has there been a moment or experience, Busy, from the 90s that you've either pitched to the writers, or is there a specific moment that's been reframed because of this show?
It's interesting. When we first started doing our flashbacks and they brought out some wigs, we have just an incredible hair, makeup, and wardrobe team that really works so hard, especially because we're like always under
moving fast.
The gun. We're moving so fast. They brought out the wig and I put it on and I was like, but the haircut's not right. We got to cut it. And then we finally got it right as far as I was concerned. And it occurred to me 20 minutes later, and I found the picture online. I had asked for and gotten my exact haircut from Dawson's Creek.
Oh my God.
And I was like, no, 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 it's not right. This is 2002. I know what she needs to look like. I really did it. But also, there's a ton of things. We perform at the Dad's Choice Awards in one of the flashbacks, and I was saying earlier, I literally remember talking to my publicist, think we can get you on the list for the Maxim Hot 100 party. Yeah. It's really important. That you be seen there, that kind of stuff.
Sarah, there's so many 90s callbacks. To list a few, there's Craig Kilborn, John Cougar Mellencamp, Kurt Loder, the UPN, Jeff Garland Fart Cloud. Which one stuck out to you as some of your favorites?
My gosh. The Jeff Garland Fart Cloud line, because that's a scene where Renee and I were just filming it in her childhood bedroom. I couldn't believe those words were coming out of your mouth. And I was laughing so hard about that. My favorite are when they like really get the obscure ones.
And we have to Google it to figure out what it is.
I know, the number of times we have to be like, what is this thing? And they would have researched it to the nines. It's a time machine. We all, growing up as a young woman in that time, and especially being in the music industry, there just was an awareness of the ways people were dressing, and our wardrobe is just so incredible. It really does feel like a time machine. And all my insecurities returned. It was really fascinating.
I started having my period again.
Renee, was there a specific moment you had to Google? You mentioned that you had to Google some of the references.
Every once in a while, there have been some things that I didn't really know at all. The reference, disappointed, from season one.
Oh, yeah.
I was doing it and she whispered, no, you're not doing it right. But in general, it feels like a bowl of cereal. It's just comfort food for me because I also lived through that time without even the success that this group had. So I feel like it's a gift from God to get to live some of these things at a higher level. Actually, our flashbacks, they might seem like they were terrible for them, but they were my dream come true that didn't happen.
Yeah.
I very much enjoy getting to do those things. And I remember this moment when Sarah and I, Dawn and Wiki, had to sing that John Cougar Mellencamp-ish song and how much fun we had just in trying to channel. There's a young boy in a small town factory, sweat all over his head. The joy that we had trying to channel some of those moments was just unforgettable.
And we all dated Carson Daly.
Yeah. Every character on the show dated Carson Daly.
Is anyone not blocked by Carson Daly?
Paula, you are such an accomplished writer, and I'm wondering how much input you have either on the scripts or infusing your own life into Gloria.
Honestly, it came from producers Tina Fey and Robert Carlock, who have known me for 25, 30 years. They, I'm sure, had some opinions on telling Meredith some of my tea, pour it into my character. I am absolutely having the biggest blast not being a writer on it because I feel so taken care of by these brilliant writers. My wife is also on the writing staff. I hear little bits and pieces from her, and I also know that she's so funny. So it's such a great group of people writing it that I occasionally will come up with an idea and say, can I say this at the end, or can I do this thing, or can I show my boobs? Just different things like that that come to me. Brilliant, nuanced comedy that I want to do, and they're always so open to it. But I don't have the burden of having to come up with all the brilliance of it, and it's just so fun to be a child and be able to play and act and inhabit the character they've already carved out.
All of you, but Renee in particular, you have some terrific fashion on the show, and I was wondering if there are any outfits or dresses that stand out to you.
I try at the end of every season to bring home the clothes. They're always like, what would you like to take? And I'm just trying to figure out what I could actually get away with wearing in front of my children. It never works. The only thing I've successfully brought home is a raincoat from season 2. And I should probably be a little bit more ambitious about my own fashion. I was just telling them the other day, I was remembering the first costume fitting I got to go to for this character. We hadn't even started shooting yet. I knew that I had just been given the greatest blessing of my life at the first costume fitting for Girls 5 Eva. It's a dream come true.
Busy, your character Summer goes through let's call it a fashion transformation this season, when she realizes that she doesn't want to have a man dress her. What were some of those outfits like?
I would say that Summer has a complete transformation about just identity in general, like who she is, having a man's input in the way that she dresses and the things that she does, and also just in her own confidence and her belief in herself and her own ideas. That in and of itself and that journey is something that I think is deeply relatable to everyone, no matter your gender, really, but especially women who get to a point sometimes where they're just like, wait, what? I don't even like basketball. What? Why do I have season tickets? That's a real thing for me. But anyway, I will say that scene where she has the realization, she sings the sort of Adele ballad, Is There a Me Inside of Me, and is really stripping away all the layers of these things that she's put on to please a new man. At first, it didn't have her completely naked. And then I said to Meredith, inspired by Paula Pell, I was like, I think I gotta get naked for this. I think that Summer has to literally burn all of her clothes and start fresh.
I've gotten naked on many television shows and movies more than I think some of Hefner's wives. So
I just felt like, yeah,
happy
I just
to inspire.
You did. Well, because it's like your fearlessness in that. And I thought, there's the version of me, Busy Phillips, the actress, that's uncomfortable about my skin wrinkles around my stomach with my pregnancy, my stomach's stretched out. When I run, because she has to run, things are gonna move. And then I just was like, but that's the moment this character is in, and she's gotta do
it. I love that you did. I howled. It was so good.
But it is the three of these ladies watching how fearless they are. You walking onto set in outfits that I'm just like, okay. Yeah. I know you're not comfortable because I know you in real life. You know what I mean? But like you become Wiki, you put on this thing, you walk out. Sarah's total fearlessness in so many situations on this show where I feel like you step outside of your comfort zone and then like Paula tits out. So combine them all.
Remember you on the pole.
Did do the pole.
Yes. Taught myself the pole dancing.
That was not a body double, ladies and gentlemen. That was busy.
I did take pole dancing lessons. So I just think that her journey is a big one.
Okay, we're going to move on to a speed round of 90s flashback. And Sarah, I'm going to start with you. My favorite girl group was
SWV.
Paula, the song I had on repeat was
No Scrubs. I love that song.
Renee, my favorite one-hit wonder?
I hate calling it a one-hit wonder because I'm sure they had other hits, but I just remembered Brownstone the other day. If you love me, you're supposed to say it if you want me, do it. Okay, then I don't know. It's one of the greatest ever. Every single one of those women were fabulous and they could sing their faces off.
Busy, the first concert I went to was?
Debbie Gibson.
Ooh.
Sarah, how about you? What was your first concert?
Huey Lewis and the News.
Paula, my favorite TV show was?
Oh, I loved so much television. Actually, I was at SNL by the time I was Y2K, so I was not watching so much television except just watching
SNL.
Well,
you could
SNL.
Just see SNL.
Yeah, SNL.
Renee, your celebrity crush was?
Luther Vandross, James Taylor, or Usher.
Busy, how about you? Who was your first celebrity crush?
Leonardo DiCaprio from, literally, from Growing Pains through Titanic.
Sarah, your favorite fashion trend?
Chokers.
Ooh, that's a good
one. I really loved a choker.
You look good in a choker still.
Oh, gosh, thank you.
Yeah. Paula, how about you? What was your favorite fashion trend?
I, too, love chokers, but I can't wear chokers or turtlenecks. I think I was strangled in a former life because I love them and that I wear them and I have a low gag threshold. Thank God. My life turned out the way it did. I'll be wearing a turtleneck. I'm like, I'm just going to power through it because it's the fall and I have this cute-ass blazer. I'm going to wear this chic black turtleneck and I'll just be out and I'll be like, yes, can I have a coffee? And I feel gaggy. I feel terrified. I feel like all of a sudden I'm not going to have any ability to swallow.
Even a mock turtleneck?
No. I keep stretching it out and then it's a cowl neck and...
And I think we're going to call it on turtlenecks. Busy, Paula, Sarah, Renee, it is so nice to meet you. Congratulations on the third season of Girls 5 Eva, and it's a terrific one. I hope everyone enjoys it.
Thank you. Mwah.
Thanks.
That's going to do it for this episode of Now on Netflix. Seasons 1 through 3 of Girls 5 Eva are out today, and Irish Wish is out tomorrow, starring Lindsay Lohan, so be sure to check that out. Next week, we'll be previewing Three Body Problem, an exciting new series from the creators of Game of Thrones, as well as Shirley, a new biopic about Shirley Chisholm, starring Regina King. That's going to do it. We'll see you next week.